Morning, church. We're reading Matthew 3 today. If you're in your pew Bibles, that's page 784. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown in the fire. I will baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Good
job. All right, well, good morning, everyone. Kids, I've got a question for you. You listening? Who likes to play tricks here? Yeah? My kids love trying to play tricks on me. One of their favorite ones is they ask me, "Hey, Daddy, what's your name?" And I say, "Daddy." And they point to the middle of their face and say, "What's this?" And I say, "Nose." And they say, "Then what's in my hand?" And I say, "Nothing." And they go, "Ha ha, Daddy knows nothing." They also really enjoy the classic high five, down low, too slow. However, the problem is that those tricks only work once if they work at all, and then you know them, and they're not a trick anymore, but you have to do them anyway because you're a parent. Unless you're a little bit more tricky, like my friend Elijah Woodhouse over here, who he really enjoys tapping people on the wrong shoulder and trying to get them to look over their shoulder, but then knowing that they're going to catch on, he then taps the proper shoulder so they look the wrong way anyway, and he's pretty good at that. I once saw him almost complete an entire game where you had to get through it by doing rock, paper, scissors, by telling the people that he was going to say scissors and then doing scissors. And they always thought he was joking, and he wasn't. He almost got all the way through just by being tricky. You know, sometimes when you think you can trust someone, you get tricked, right? And then after that, you don't want to trust them anymore. But this week at camp, we talked a lot about trust, right? What was the phrase that we've said even a number of times this morning, guys? Trust Jesus, right? When you wonder, trust Jesus. When you feel alone, trust Jesus. When you feel powerless, trust Jesus. When you need hope, trust Jesus. And when you need help, trust Jesus. But here's a question I think we need to talk about, is how do we know that we can trust Jesus, right? How do we know it's not a trick? Why should I trust Jesus? That's the big question that I want to talk about today, our big question for today. Why should I trust Jesus? You know, everything that we know about Jesus comes from where? From the Bible, right? And maybe you don't know much about the Bible. Maybe you've heard that the Bible isn't trustworthy. Maybe people have told you the Bible's a trick. But actually, if you look at the evidence, and I'm saying this mostly to the adults at this point who maybe don't know this, the Bible is actually the most trustworthy book that we have in the history of the world. That sounds like a big thing to say, and I don't have time to go into that today, but I'd love to talk to you about it afterwards if you have questions about that. I can also recommend some resources to you. There's a pastor and a scholar in Toronto named Wes Huff. He's on the other side of the city. He's got some great stuff online. If you look up Wes Huff, Can I Trust the Bible? He's got a video series that he's put together that's got really great information on it. He knows his stuff. He's got all kinds of other videos on YouTube. He's recently made a big splash and kind of become a little bit famous. But if you look up Wes Huff, Can I Trust the Bible, those videos will help you. You can also, if you like reading, look at the Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. I've recommended that in the past, or The Reason for God by Tim Keller. Those are really helpful resources. But here's the thing. If we do trust the Bible says some really amazing things about Jesus. And I want to show you some of them this morning. And I want to show them to you, kids, from one of the stories that we learned about this week at kids' camp. What was the story, kids? What was the story that we learned all the way at the beginning of the week on Monday? Do you guys remember what story we learned on Monday at the beginning of the week? Jesus had a cousin who did something to him. Do you guys remember what it was? Pedro knows. It's John the Baptist, right? Jesus gets baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. And this story of John the Baptist that Sydney just read for us, actually, is going to help us to see who Jesus is so that we can know why we should trust him. I'm going to read just a couple of the verses from Matthew chapter 3 again. And kids, I want you to listen for a word, okay? There's going to be a word that's repeated three times. It's got two different kinds of ways that the word is said. But I want you to listen and see if you can figure out what is the word that shows up three times in these verses that I'm going to read, okay? So listen for it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" And then look at verse 8, if you're following along in your Bibles. Verse 8 says, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." That's one of the things that he was saying to people as they came. Produce fruit that's in keeping with repentance. And then verse 11, he says, "I baptized you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Is there a word in there that you heard three times? MJ? Repent or repentance. I heard it over here too. Good job, guys. That word is a really important word in the Bible. We talked about this on Monday. What does repentance mean? Do you guys remember what repentance means? Anyone have even adults? Anyone know what repentance is? All right, MJ, go ahead. Saying sorry to God, that's part of it. There's more to it than that, but that's part of it. What's the other part of repentance? Liz. Yeah, there's another part to just saying sorry to it. It's also about letting God actually change you so that you don't do that sin anymore, right? You're turning away from that sin and saying, "I don't want that anymore. I'm not just, oh, sorry," and then you're planning to do it again, right? Hey, guys, do you ever do bad things or say bad things or think bad things, right? We all do. The answer to that question is yes for every single one of us in here, right? That's called sin. The Bible calls that sin. But here's another question. Do you ever get in trouble for doing something bad? Maybe your parents get you in trouble or somebody, and you say sorry, but you just do the same thing over again. The answer is yes, again, for that one, right? We all do that. But repenting is when we do something bad, and we know that it's bad, and we turn away from our sin, and we run to God for away from what we know we've done is bad and say, "God, I need you to change me. I need your help to be different in this." So John the Baptist, he came to get the people ready for Jesus, right? Jesus is coming, and he says, "I'm here to get you ready." He told the people that because we all sin, we all do bad things and say bad things and think bad things, we need to repent. We need to turn from those sins and let God change us. And so John the Baptist, he helped people get ready for Jesus. And he helped to show them that they show them their sins and help them to show that they wanted to change from their sins by getting baptized. He would take them out in this river, the River Jordan, and dunk them under the water and say, "This is a way of showing, God, I want to repent. I want to change from who I am and what I've been doing." And verse 5 in this chapter tells us that lots of people came to get baptized and repent. If you look at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 3, it says, people went out from the people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region, so lots of people, the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized with him in the Jordan River. Right? They knew that they're sinners because we all are, and they're saying, we need help, John. But here's the thing, there's one person who never sinned. Who's that, guys? Jesus. Okay, that's a good one. I'm glad you guys knew that one. All right. Look at what happens in verse 13, right? Jesus comes to John. Look at verse 13. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him. That word means he tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus comes to John and says, baptize me. And John says, what? You don't need to be baptized. You've got nothing to repent of. You haven't sinned, Jesus. You should baptize me. I'm a sinner, not you. And John was right about Jesus. Jesus is the only person who ever lived who never sinned. He never had a bad thought about anybody. He never said a mean word about anyone. He never did anything that was wrong. He's perfect. And isn't that incredible, guys? And this is the first reason that we should trust Jesus. Do you want to know why we should trust Jesus? Because Jesus is perfect. We all sin, but Jesus never did. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Shouldn't we trust someone who never sins? Aren't they the person that we should trust? Who never lies, who never steals, who never cheats, who never does anything mean or unkind or selfish? He's worth trusting. But that's only the first reason that we should trust him, because there's more reasons. In this story that we have here, Jesus convinces John to baptize him. And look what happens when he's baptized at the end of the chapter in verse 16. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. That means like landing on him and resting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. That would be crazy to see, wouldn't it? Can you imagine seeing someone get baptized and all of a sudden three things happen, right? The first thing is heaven opens. I don't even really know what that means. Maybe the clouds parted and there's a bright light shining down or something. I don't know. But then the Spirit of God comes down in the form of a dove. Something's obviously different. It's not just a dove. Something's different about this dove. It's the Spirit of God. He lands on Jesus, and then this voice booms out of the heavens. Can you imagine all of a sudden, whoa, what is that? There's no speakers back then. There's no microphones back then. They never heard anything like that before. And this is, I'm sure, greater than any speaker could do. A voice comes down and says, this is my what? What is this? What does the voice say about Jesus? This is my Son, whom I love, and I'm pleased with him. Now, what does it mean that Jesus is God's Son? That's kind of confusing, isn't it? But the Bible teaches that there's only one God, right? If you talk to people in the world, people believe all kinds of things, that there's lots of God, some people believe. Some people believe that there's no God at all. But the Bible says that there is one God, only one. And the Bible says that that one God is three people, that he's not three gods, he's only one God. But the one God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's what we call the Trinity. The one God is three in one. And there's nothing else like him, right? We should say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. That's because he's God. He's bigger than us, right? We can't try to explain him with an example because he's unique. There's nothing like him in all of creation. He's the creator, and we're the creations. You and I, I'm a human, and I'm one person. But God is one God and three persons. And it's confusing. But here's what the Bible says. When Jesus got baptized, who was there with him? God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And they said, what did they say about Jesus? They said, well, he's the Son of God. So here's what this is saying. Jesus is more than just a perfect human. He's God. Isn't that incredible too? Right? This isn't just a perfect man. This is God himself who came down as a human. And that's another reason that we can trust him. Jesus is God. But that makes me ask a question, doesn't it? Why would God want to become a human? Why would he do that? And that brings us to the third and final reason that we should trust Jesus. This story, guys, about John the Baptist, it shows us something, that our sin is a big problem. That we need to turn from our sin to God, and God needs to change us. But how does that change happen? The rest of the story of Jesus tells us how that change happens. Guys, we read a bunch of stories. We learned a bunch of stories at camp this week about Jesus. We learned and we sang a song about today that he's a good shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep and goes and looks for the one that got lost, the one that ran away. That one sheep that ran away in that story, it represents each and every one of us. Every one of us that sins and wanders from God. Jesus became a human to come rescue us. And we also learned about how Jesus rescued us on Thursday this week. Guys, what did Jesus do to rescue us from our sins? Hey, Meredith, what did Jesus do to save us from our sins? He died on the cross, right? If you read what John says about Jesus in this chapter, some of it's kind of scary, right? If you read through it, John says that our sin's really bad, and because of what we've done, we deserve to be punished by God, right? He talks about judgment and fire. It's not a small punishment. All of us deserve hell, the Bible tells us. And people don't like to talk about hell because they think it makes God mean. But God isn't mean. Do you know what the Bible says about God? Is that one of the most famous verses in the Bible is John 3:16. John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that verse says that God loves us. He doesn't want us to be punished. He doesn't want us to punish us. He wants to save us. So he sent his Son, Jesus. And that Jesus died on the cross to take our punishment and pay for our sins. And guys, then what happened to Jesus after he died on the cross? He rose again, right? That's not the end of the story. He didn't just die. He rose again. And do you know what it means that he rose again, kids? Do you know why it's important that Jesus rose again? It means that he won. It means that Jesus beat death and hell and sin forever. And that's not all that Jesus did. He died, he rose again, and after he came back to life, he went back to heaven to be with his Father. And the Father and him, together, they sent someone. Do you know who Jesus and the Father sent? That was the story on Friday that we learned about. Who did Jesus send? The Holy Spirit, that's right. That means that if you believe in Jesus, if you know that Jesus died for your sins and rose again to forgive you and so that you could be a child of God, then you have God's Spirit living in you. Jesus and his Father sent the Spirit so that we could have God living in us. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to really change. He helps us to repent from our sins for real. Guys, that's the rescue plan for us. Did you notice that the Trinity are all working in the rescue plan? The Father sent the Son because he loved us. He sent the Son to become a human, and Jesus became a human. He never sinned, and then he died for our sins and rose again. And guys, when I say he never sinned, I don't mean that he just never did anything bad. I mean he always did good things. He did everything good that all the humans should have done, including getting baptized, right? He got baptized for that reason. Well, I'm going to do all the things that humans should do. He did everything good all the time. And then he died for us to take our punishment, even though he didn't deserve it. And then he rose again. And then the Father and the Son sent the Spirit to come and live in us and change us. And so here's the third reason that we should trust Jesus. First of all, that he was perfect. He never sinned. Second of all, that he's God. And third of all, that he came to rescue us from our sins. He sacrificed for us. He died for us. He suffered for us so that we could know God and be saved. Guys, I hope you trust Jesus. I hope you do. There's no one else like him. He really loves you, and he's so good. If you didn't trust Jesus before, you could start doing it right now. Kids, adults, all of us. We would love to help you learn more about Jesus. So please come talk to anyone in a green shirt. Come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. How you can know Jesus more. How you can be more confident in who he is and trust him. But as we finish our message, we're going to sing a few songs again. But let's just say it one more time. Trust Jesus. What with me? Ready? Trust Jesus.